Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on to your next topic, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
What's up, AfterBuzzers? We are back and excited to talk about this crazy episode. It was literally a crazy episode.
So
I was on
crazy.
The edge of my seat. I'm your host, Benny Adams. Thank you again for joining us for another after show of The Walking Dead. Before I get into it, I just want to introduce you to my awesome co-host. To the left of me, Miss April.
I was like, are you about to say, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to call you out like that. What's up, everybody? I'm so happy to be back after missing those first two episodes because, dear gosh, such craziness.
Yes, yes. And then to the left of April, this guy knows everything about this show. Like, he surprises me sometimes. Mr. Cedric.
Thank you for that, and I'm glad to be back.
Woo-hoo!
Back in-house, back in studio. We got a lot to discuss from this episode.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And more so than just talking about the after show is we have some news and gossip. We have our special segments, favorite kill, and a very new one that I want to talk about. But first, what did you guys think about this after show? This episode?
Such, like, so much happening tonight, obviously. I was so surprised with, you know, the last-minute fireballs. It was a really good battle scene. We haven't seen something like this on The Walking Dead, I feel like, in a while. It gave me, like, semi-Game of Thrones-esque vibes because it's, like, them walking up with their shields. It was pretty cool. So I loved the episode, for sure.
This is one of the few episodes where it's, like, I was really left wanting more because it ended and I was like, wait, that's it?
Yeah.
Like, I really want to see can't wait to see what's going to happen next week. And I like the throwbacks to before, kind of seeing what we're doing with Negan and his maturation as a Whisperer. They laying down the tree in the forest.
Yeah.
That was a good callback.
Yeah. That was really good. I liked the episode. I remember watching it, and I remember about to get so mad because I thought they were going to do this thing where they're talking about this battle, and it's going to be like this huge battle scene, and then we weren't going to see it until the next episode.
Right.
And I realized like the show was starting to come to an end, and I'm like, if they don't show this, fortunately they did show, and we got a good amount, so I was happy with it.
Yeah, I was too. I had the same worry. It's interesting that you did because I was like, you don't just like drag this out too much because there's so much other stuff we still have to like discuss and stuff that has to happen.
They've been on it lately. This is the second episode in a row where like it kind of sort of felt like a mid season finale.
Yeah,
they're going in. They're not wasting any time.
Yeah.
Luckily, we haven't lost anybody yet, which kind of worries me because we might next week.
Right.
They're definitely building up something huge to happen.
Right. Yeah. So let's start talking about Negan. He is getting further and further in with the Whisperers. We start with the scene where he's with... Whenever I talk about Negan and Alpha, I start thinking about that sex scene.
Oh!
And I don't know. But she is asking him to whip her, and he's like, instantly he starts thinking about their whole connection sex scene that they had. She starts whipping him. What did you think that was all about?
I mean, for her, it's because of, you know, that's what she does to punish herself and to punish others.
Mm-hmm.
But even though I don't think she really has a thing to punish him for, but she also does it just to make herself tough. So after this, all of this stuff with Lydia, it's like, okay, let me do this to, like, re-toughen up myself, even though I didn't feel like she needed it. But I just, there's the part of me, with every scene with them, that I'm like, where are they going with this?
Mm-hmm.
Because I was reading, a few articles before we came here to film, and they're all talking like, you know, we thought the point of Negan going hard in with Alpha is so he can eventually, you know, what we all want to happen, maybe off her or be a part of that happening.
Mm-hmm.
But and not to spoil the comic books whatsoever. I know a lot of people in chat know what happens in the comic books, yeah. but we're just going off of what they're giving us in the show right now, obviously. But I'm like, he seems to be getting a little too far into it, and to me, he kind of seems to be liking it. Like yeah. when he was whipping her, I was like, you like this right now, don't
yeah.
you?
Yeah.
So you think he's in too deep?
Maybe.
I think, well, we know Alpha's trying to toughen herself up. She's trying to really prove to herself that she is Alpha again. I feel like she lost a little bit of herself when she was trying to get her daughter back. Mm-hmm. But with Negan, and I'm still waiting on the heel turn. I'm still waiting for Negan to, and I think it's going to come when he comes eye to eye with Judith again, and because he really bonded with her.
Yeah.
I think that's when he's going to have a heart again. But I think with Negan and Alpha, she's constantly trying to test his loyalty. Mm-hmm. I think she actually respects him as like 1A, 1B at this point. Mm-hmm. And at this point, she wants to constantly make sure that his mindset is on following her.
Right. That's true. So it's like, if you let me beat you, then clearly you're following me, pretty much. But with Negan, he's just so, at this point anyway, he seems to be a little too moldable.
Yeah.
In the sense of like, I totally get if he, in order to really infiltrate and to order, and in order to actually bring her down, you do have to make her trust you. That means doing some stuff that isn't going to be good for you and isn't going to be good for like our people, for Alexandra and everybody. So like, you know, that's why we later see him. But Daryl thinks he knows that he's there, but no one really knows that he's there. Mm-hmm. But I just think he's also, like you said, in maybe just a little too.
I think, yeah, I agree. And I keep on going back and forth. I'm like, is he just playing her, or does he really, really want to join them?
I think he's just playing her ultimately.
Right.
But
I don't know. Because yeah. I think one of the coolest parts of the episode is when you get in the beginning, you actually see him in the mask, in the Whisperer mask.
Yeah, he finally got a mask.
Leather jacket, Whisperer mask. It was like,
it's so funny too. I so called it, but what surprised me was he was still wearing the whole leather jacket, and he was still Negan, but in a Walker mask.
Right.
And I was waiting for him to like say something like sarcastic, like, oh, this is like some dumb ish or something like that.
And the dark Whisperer voice too.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Speaking of when the Whisperers were just walking down and they were, what they were saying, what did you think of what they were saying?
Well, I had the subtitles on, so I knew. But talking about how they're like, we are, we are whatever they were saying. I guess, I just think, I didn't know they chanted things always. Is this just like a new thing because Alpha was doing that at the beginning of the episode where she was, I mean, I forget what she was saying exactly.
I know,
anyone in chat, let us know. But
I know they communicate with each other
in
herds and it just funnels down the rest of the herd, but I think they were just, it was like their unified chant. They're unifying to say like, hey, we're going to war type of thing. This is what's happening, which was really cool to see because we know what happens the rest of the episode.
Right. And speaking of going to war, so they have like the secret plan to get the people at Hilltop. And we see Beta doing something. We don't know what he's doing, but then we learn at the end that he was able to gather gasoline.
Right.
Did you guys see that coming whatsoever?
I mean, I like now when that I know what happened, I'm like, oh, duh, because sap is basically like gasoline and is very highly flammable. But I was like, what is this ball? Is like he trying to drink like coconut water? Does he think this is a tree? Like, what is he doing right now? And I also did not think, you know, maybe this is a bad thing of me to say, but Beta doesn't seem to be the, you know, brightest crayon in the box. I didn't think that he had the wherewithal. from how he's acted in the past, like, he seems very, it's almost like he's damaged, quote unquote, in ways that he can't have. He doesn't have the thought for that. He just knows, like, kill, basically.
Right.
So the fact that he came up with this, like, literal battle plan.
He's all bronze, no brain.
He seems like that sometimes.
That was genius. And I think what's even more beautiful is once they get the gasoline on the Hilltop patrons is, I believe Negan shot the first arrow.
He did. Or he was, I mean, he was right there with it. Maybe they did it like at the same time, but he's the one who said like, go. Beta did. But Negan was
that's
there.
That's why I'm like, is he really playing them? Or like, because if he's playing them, he's definitely playing the part. Like,
no one knows what he's doing right now.
Right.
So like, it's not like, and him firing one arrow at this point isn't going to make any difference in the long run. So the Whisperers just see him being a part of their cause and doing something and helping them. But like, he's not doing anything to like, that would really be detrimental at this point.
Yeah.
Do you guys think if Negan actually took out Alpha, the rest would follow him?
Oh, that is such like a great question. Is it like one of those type of groups
where they just follow?
That's interesting because we still have Beta.
Yeah.
And I feel like they would... that's a hard question.
Because I think Beta would have to die.
So you remember when Negan was still in charge and there were actually saviors that were following Simon?
And those fought? They were. You know, there's a part of me that thinks that I think Beta would definitely have to die, like, in order for the Whispers to do anything else. My natural inclination is to say that they would follow Beta. Mm. But I just don't see them doing it that way. I almost think, like, they would disperse. I don't know. But, yeah. I mean, Negan, obviously, I think the leader in him is never going to fully go away.
Right. Yeah.
But
I just think that group of people is so broken at this point from Alpha's... whatever you call that type of democracy,
right?
I think that they're so broken that they just look for whoever is going to lead them next.
Right.
That's true. That's a good point.
Well, speaking of broken, someone else who's broken is Carol. She is still not over the death of her son, and I completely understand it. What do you think about how what Carol is going through now? You see her with Ezekiel. You see her, they have like this little hookup session, but she's not the same Carol anymore. No. It's kind of like she's sort of reverted back to her season one self, I kind of feel like.
I was like, ooh, Benny is not going to like my opinion of Carol this half of the season so far. Because I honestly just don't like what they're doing with her character right now. Like, I get showing the grief and whatever, but I liked so much her interactions with Daryl in the first half of the season, and she seemed to kind of be really tough and moving past the process, and obviously, she had her son died in a very brutal way at the hands of this woman, and she's seemed to be doing better because she wasn't constantly reminded of it, or she was just kind of repressing it, basically. So I liked that, but now I'm like, okay, so you're just making her be scared, but then like she has these moments with Lydia, she has this moment with Ezekiel where she seems to be a little bit more normal, but like I need her to be doing something,
right,
and something that's not just totally idiotic, like running into a cave of you know, a horde of
and
walkers
and then getting everyone
well,
caught.
I think that's her plan. She's hell bent on killing Alpha, and I think this might be the best form of Carol, actually, because, you know, in my opinion, she's probably the most vindictive character on the show.
Oh, when, for sure.
When backed against the wall. But it harks on the question that if she actually does succeed, does she revert back? And I don't think she does. I think she's too far gone. She's lost so much.
Yeah.
Lost her blood daughter, lost Henry, was married to the king, has kind of turned her back on that. And the only one that really understands her is Daryl, and she's not responding to him.
Right. That's why I enjoyed it so much when she was, I feel like, first half of the season. But now that, you know, this has happened, it's just that, like, she is definitely, like, fully gunning for Alpha. Yeah. But I want her to do it in a smarter way. I mean, I guess there's no smart way, and that's what she's trying to explain to everyone, and they just don't get it. Mm-hmm. But it's like, at some point, you have to start thinking about the others. But maybe now that is what she's doing, now that she got, you know, people stuck in a cave and multiple people dead because of her decision.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I don't know.
My thing with Carol is she is... in my opinion, the most developed character in this show. Just where she started out to where she is now.
Yeah.
And so in my head, I'm thinking, well, where else can the writers take her? They can't keep on making her like this epic kick fighting type of person, you know, because like we've seen that before. So I kind of do get I kind of get where the writers are going with this, seeing like, you know, you can be this strong person, but then something terrible can happen to you and you can revert back to your former self.
Yeah.
So I kind of see it. Do you guys think this whole relationship with Carol and the king, do you think she really has feelings for him, or is this just something just to make him feel better because he has cancer, he knows he's dying?
Right. I have never loved their relationship a lot until tonight.
Really?
I was like, something about it, I was like, no, did she go to him tonight because of what we knew, or I should say last night, because of what she knew was about to happen? Like, impending death, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure. But she finally had what to me seemed like a very genuine moment.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that she now knows about his cancer. And obviously that made her feel some sort of way about him. Mm-hmm. Because no matter how you feel about someone now versus in the past, you're always still going to have emotions stirred up by that. But it did make me kind of be like, oh, I think I do like them together for some reason. And I never fully have thought that before.
I think Carol's always been charmed by the King, and that she brings out a lot of that happiness that she had when the group was actually still at large, when we still had some of our other main characters. But I think, honestly, with the cancer stuff, I think it does make her sympathetic towards him. Mm-hmm. I don't think she can still be the wife that she was at the Kingdom in previous seasons. And honestly, if the King goes, man, that might be the straw that breaks the camel's back.
I know.
Well, this leads me to the question, like, because I'm not seeing it there. I'm not seeing this strong relationship between the King and Carol. Do you think there's something, I know we talked about this prior, but do you think there's something between Carol and Daryl?
I mean, this has been such a talked about topic since like season one, episode
one. Right, exactly.
I think at this point it's a hard no for me.
You think so?
Yeah. Just because if they were going to do it, I feel like they would have done it in the first half of the season when they were having these like semi-flirty moments and moments just with each other. And they even made a couple of jokes to each other about it. So no, I don't think they will.
I think there is, but they are like really teetering the fence between like romance and brother sister relationship.
Yeah.
So I it's like hit or miss. Do I think it'll happen now in lieu of the marriage with the King?
Yeah.
Or lack thereof at this point. Mm. But I mean that the scene with the King and Daryl was very telling as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of standoffish. They kind of have this mandatory bond between Carol, but they don't have a relationship with each other. So
right. Do you think the King is a little jealous of their friendship?
I think he is threatened by it.
Yeah.
He's definitely threatened by it. Because I think Carol will share something with Daryl way before the King, because Daryl's been there since the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that makes total sense to me. And Carol is not with the King anymore, obviously. But I'm speaking on when they were together. But even in the way he's interacted with him in the past, I forget which episode it was, but where he was like, you know, like, basically, I don't like you, you don't like me, but we can coexist. That was like the kind of conclusion of a conversation about the relationship between Daryl and Ezekiel.
Yeah.
But I just think he is threatened by the closeness and by the information. But like just like we've learned, there's so much still that Carol keeps in. And that's a surprise to us as viewers, you know, to learn each episode, I feel like.
Okay. Before we move on, we have a little special announcement we want to tell you guys. We just want to thank you all for making us the ESPN of TV Talk. And in order for us to grow, we need your help. So if you are on YouTube right now, go ahead and give us a thumbs up. If you're on iTunes, go ahead. Oh, wow, that shocked
me.
If you're on iTunes, go ahead and give us a 5-star working at AfterBuzz means so much to us, and we just want to continue to give you guys amazing, good content. So keep on watching. The more you know, right?
I love it.
Exactly.
Amazing. Shout out to everybody in chat, too, by the
way. Yeah, what are they saying?
Y'all are
there
on it. Eric Erlian, so sorry if I'm pronouncing that incorrectly. This was a great moment. Please don't hate me. I could never hate you. The moment between Daryl and Carol where she was like, just look at me or just talk to me. Please don't hate me. Please don't hate me. Nina Murphy says there is some love there. Charmed Original says nope, Carol and Daryl are just besties. And then they all think that Carol is just broken and they want Warrior Carol back as well. Lots of other
she'll
people
definitely
there,
so. Be back.
I don't think she ever left.
I don't
think she ever left.
She's slumbering right
well think
now.
About the I mean I think Warrior Carol is still obviously kind of right there at the surface because of the conversation that she had with Lydia on the stairs. Where Lydia, you know, she's like, I'm going to kill your mom, basically.
Yeah.
She's like, she says that to Lydia.
Yeah.
And so she
And Lydia knows this, like.
Right. It's just, you know, not quite what it used to be, but also because there aren't as many people for her to go after right now.
Right.
Like, she is very, you know, one-track minded at this point, and that's killing Alpha.
I think Lydia is in the back of Lydia's mind. She's thinking, well, not if I kill her first.
But she had her opportunity.
She did.
I don't think she was ready. She wasn't ready, but I think she knows she has to now.
Yeah. Do you think that if Carol really did kill Alpha, do you think that's what's going to bring her back? Because I don't. I think she's still going to feel that sorrow and that sadness.
Yeah, I mean, she'll always feel it because it's her son.
Yeah.
But Carol definitely needs the thing to make her feel better.
Yeah.
And I think until she's just... I don't think it necessarily means she has to be the one to kill her. But I think that until she's dead, or basically until the Whisperers are not a thing, it's going to be there with her.
Okay.
I think a true testament to the mainstays of this group is that they always move forward.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No matter what happens, they move forward from threat after threat after threat. And I think what Carol is really dealing with right now is the fashion in which she lost Henry, having to see that on the
head on a spike.
Yeah. On spikes in the field. I think that's what's making her bloodthirsty for Alpha. But even after it's done, I mean, it doesn't change anything.
Yeah.
It still happened. But I think for her, it'd be like a small bit of closure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's talk about one of my favorite characters on the show. Love this guy, Eugene.
He loves Eugene, by the way.
So Eugene has this little romance going with this woman over what is it called, the intercom,
like
the
CB radio, basically.
Yeah, and which I think is very stupid. I think she is playing him, but I'll get your thoughts on that soon.
I was about to say, I hope not. This poor guy.
I know. So he is, you can tell how desperate he is to just get attention from someone. Because the only time people really pay attention to him is when they need something.
That's
from
true.
Him.
Because he's literally living by himself.
Right.
In a, like, tower or whatever it is.
Exactly. And so he forms this close bond with this lady who he's never met.
Right.
She's asking him all these questions, you know, that if I were him, it would set off a light bulb. Like, why do you want to know all this stuff? Mm-hmm. Why are you so curious about this? But you won't give me any information. Do you think she's playing him, or do you think this is a real thing?
I didn't think she was playing him until you just said that. But because she's asking him the questions, just like you said, that he's asking her as well.
Mm-hmm.
But why is he willing to... He's not giving too much information, but he's definitely giving information.
Yeah.
But that's also kind of the more naive side of Eugene, where he thinks that they're having these, you know, hours of conversations.
Mm-hmm.
She is showing all of this interest in him. You know, they plan a meetup, whatever. But you're right. She's not giving anything whatsoever.
Right.
He's giving a little too much. I hope to God that she's not playing him. I haven't gotten the vibe so far that she is. But also, we've seen, you know, as fans of Fear the Walking Dead as well, we've seen how radio conversations with somebody that you don't know go very, very wrong. But I don't think she's playing him.
I think the natural inclination is to believe that it can go left because every human being is a threat in this era. But I mean, she finished the song lyrics yesterday.
She's
singing a song with
that's him. What started got me thinking. I'm like, she could just be really smart. She can just be very, very calculated. And what really got me thinking was it was right before Rosita came in and she was on the intercom and she said, tell me more about the the satellite or something that crashed.
Oh, yeah, because they had been talking about the satellite.
Yeah. She was like, tell me more about it. And then Rosita came in, and so that's when she stopped. And like, why do you want to know more about that?
But also, well, topic of conversation. Yeah. And Eugene is smart. But also, why would she be, if she was just trying to find out information and this other person picked up the radio, like, why would she just automatically shut down?
Because
she could very easily be like, oh, who are you?
Well, because she knows, by talking to Eugene, that he is a very, what's the correct term for this? He is a very, not gullible person, but you can kind of take advantage of him.
Well, yeah, because
he's
being given the attention, and like you said,
exactly. He's a very nice guy. She can tell he's very lonely.
Mm-hmm.
She's never met Rosita. She's never talked to Rosita, so she doesn't know if she can do that to Rosita. Yeah. And also, she's always saying, no, you can't tell anyone else about me. Which is weird.
But also, he should be doing the same thing.
Right. Yeah. And so that's why I'm just like, it's just too fishy to me.
I think her name is Stephanie, right?
Yeah,
I don't think either side knows the threat that's on the other end of the intercom.
Yeah.
Because Stephanie can be saying, hey, I have people, but she can just be protecting her kids and just have access to this intercom somewhere in some store somewhere.
Right. Yeah.
So maybe she's talking to Eugene, trying to figure out all this information and say, hey, is this a safe place or not?
Mm-hmm.
Right. We don't know. She could have 100 people. She could have two.
Yeah.
And they could be children.
Very true. It's also like someone, Eric in chat, or I'm so sorry, Glow Ups, oh my gosh, I'm sorry I missed it. Nina Murphy, does anyone think Eugene is talking to someone from the old sanctuary from when he was working for Negan? So that got my, you know, kind of the wheels rolling.
Mm-hmm.
She absolutely could be from one of these like rival groups. But
she
that doesn't
anyone,
mean that
yeah.
she is bad herself.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me think of the episode where I think it was Judith that said, like, are we the bad guys? Because to them, you know, Alexandria and those groups could be bad guys as well.
Yeah.
So she very well could be from one of those groups, but or just, you know, not completely whatever. But I don't get the vibe so far.
Everybody thinks their way is right in the apocalypse. So we don't know
who
to
trust.
We only trust the group we're in because we've been following them since season one.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. let's talk about Eugene and Rosita, which I love. I know you're going to be like, Benny.
No, I'm not.
Oh, Benny.
I'm not. You can have your opinions.
Because I honestly think that Rosita is falling for Eugene.
Even after seeing her interactions with Gabriel, she seems to be like...
I think they're taking their time with it. I think they're going very, very slow, and I think she's slowly starting to get feelings for him. And now she sees that this woman is interested in him, and she's kind of like, wait, hold up, no one's supposed to be interested in you. And so now she's like... She's starting to feel some type of way,
you
I think.
Really
That's
think
petty.
That.
I really think so that.
Petty.
I think something's going to happen.
Rosita likes
everybody. I think
something's
going to happen.
Yeah, she does. I think, by the way, that she smiled at him after she asked, she was like, okay, so kiss me. And the way she smiled was a very, like,
ooh, it was like
okay, friendly, like, this isn't going to happen.
Yeah,
I gave you the opportunity.
Yeah.
Like, but she knew what she was doing. She was doing it in the way to, like, see how he actually, if he really felt something for this woman. But the smile was a very friend zone smile.
It was.
I didn't get
I'll
that
give
vibe.
You, really?
I think the smile was like a very, oh, I still got you.
Oh, really?
Like, I still got because he came real close.
You did.
It's like, oh, yeah, you want to do this.
Yeah.
You will eventually.
I didn't think about that. That's pretty cool.
I'm like,
okay.
Don't say that to Benny. He's just going to go run with that.
That's what I think
literally,
it was. It was very much like, I still got you
when
if I want you.
Yeah. Literally, when she said, kiss me, I started clapping. I was like, yes, it's happening.
I die. Oh my
and
God.
Then they were like, whenever someone on in television, they go in super slow for a kiss, it never happens.
Right,
and so I knew it wasn't going to happen.
I didn't think it was either. But I did think her interactions with Gabriel are a little more, like, relationshipy. And that's another relationship that I haven't really loved. But like the fact that he could kind of tell she was freaking out tonight when they were going to send everybody out.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know, no, her, stay back. Or that was last episode, whatever. But I think that's the way that they're moving. But who knows?
And I think Rosita might have more of a genuine respect for Eugene because of how he's taking care of the child.
Yeah.
Even when Sadiq was still there, he was just doing everything, creating baby charts.
He was pretty much like the dad.
Yeah.
Like the second dad.
But now
more
he's
so
not
than
around.
Sadiq and Gabriel.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which is for sure.
Very telling.
Yeah. Let's talk about that epic battle or the first part of the battle that we saw. It was amazing, like, right before they cut to the commercial, and, like, they're doing, like, their little stance, and then, I forgot what they said, but they said something, and it literally gave me chills.
Same. It was amazing.
Yeah.
The fact that they've been, like, coming together, and it's, like, Aaron leading the troops and everything, they seem to be, like, a legitimate force, but then to see what was coming at them, it's like I just think that they need more than they have, and obviously we see how it
turns definitely
out.
Outnumbered.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the thing is, if the Whisperers didn't have the walkers, Hilltop would win, hands down.
Yeah,
they would
sure.
win, hands down. It's the walkers that... You don't think so?
I don't know about that.
Really?
Not Hilltop. Whisperers don't really have weapons. I mean,
now
they have bows and arrows, apparently.
We don't know that. They could be keeping stuff in the dirt, hiding things. We don't know what they have.
According to what we know, they don't. or we haven't seen them with any. I think for sure, like, people against people, I feel like Hilltop would win at this point anyway, because they seem more prepared. But yeah. I mean, we've seen outrageous situations where they have been outnumbered, you know, 1,000 to 1, mm-hmm. and they win. Mm-hmm. But how things went down tonight,
yeah,
I genuinely, this is one of, like, this probably the second time only ever in the show that I'm like, I don't know what they're gonna do.
Yeah, and I honestly don't. No one's really died yet. Like, no. I will be shocked if someone doesn't die.
Yeah, only people that are like the you know, randoms, like, we don't even know them.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, exactly.
Well, Hilltop to me is the weakest of the three communities out of the Kingdom, Alexandria. So I don't think, even if it was just the Whisperers versus the Hilltop, I think they would be outmanned and unarmed anyway. Because they remember when they the leader was Michael Gregory.
Gregory, the old guy.
They were the people that would just do trades with Negan's group. They wouldn't want to fight.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that's that same older community that's just used to trade and barter. So I think they're going to escape this situation. I don't think they're really going to put up a fight. Yeah. But they're also going to be blocked in, which it'll be interesting to see what happens.
That's what I'm saying. So they're literally, Beta, the plan he came up with, they lit everything behind them, or basically, you know, lit Hilltop on fire, so they have nowhere to go. So that's why I'm like, how do y'all think they get out?
No clue.
I don't know.
No clue. All right, let's start talking about some news and gossip.
AfterBuzz TV News.
All right, so this one was very interesting. I was telling you guys about this earlier, but this guy named Michael Mundy, he is an actor. He played a walker in season 3 of The Walking Dead. He got arrested. And guess what for? Just guess. Biting a person.
His girlfriend, or like longtime girlfriend.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And I'm reading this and I'm just like, wow. You know, imitation really became a reality.
She said,
right there,
he bit her on the hands, arm, and back.
I wonder,
why bite?
Yeah,
I mean,
I don't condone violence, but that's it's weird.
Was it violence? It's
really weird.
Was it?
Well, apparently he hit her as well, but the bite is the weirdest part.
Well, that's not good.
Yeah,
it's not good.
Probably should let that out.
Well, yeah, but yeah, so he was arrested. He's in jail. Not good for him. Should stop biting people.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's it for news and gossip. Let's get to our special segments. Let's just start with favorite kill.
Down. Huh. Favorite kill.
What was my favorite kill? I would have to say it involved Daryl using the mace.
Okay.
In the battle scene. And I'm trying to narrow it down because I thought the coolest thing was Eugene's electric wire fence.
Yeah.
I thought that was probably the coolest thing.
That was so
cool. Mm-hmm.
But I'll narrow it down. I'll say Daryl wielding the mace, even though he can't walk and he's hurt.
Yeah.
He took out a couple walkers that way. That would be my favorite.
I like that. Mine, this is bad because it's one of our people, is when you see the Hilltop person get lit on fire. Because so this isn't like a kill. It's like,
yeah.
But because everyone's like, what is this? Why does it smell like Christmas trees? And then that's when they shot the arrow.
Because isn't gasoline? Right. Yeah.
So they thought it smelled like a Christmas tree. And then that's literally how they discovered, because he lit on fire. So like, that's why I say we've lost these random people. I mean, we don't even know who that was because he was on fire.
Which
I thought was
cool. So
I thought that was cool. Yes.
Yeah. Mine, like you said, it was Eugene's little contraption with the walkers like walking into it. I'm like, oh, this is really good. Too bad it's not going to hold all of them. But yeah.
Maybe it's like 100 more.
It works, though. It works. All right, let's go to our next one. It is the the person who really just didn't do the much.
And we're going to call that dead weight.
Dead weight.
So love it.
Yes. Dead
weight? This one's actually tough because we're still trying to figure out the rest of the fight scene. But if I had to say dead weight, and I'm foreshadowing here, it's Ezekiel.
Ooh, yeah.
It's Ezekiel. I saw Ezekiel fall during the fight last night, and I think that's going to... I think that forces them to have to fall back a little bit and rehash everything. And of course, then you get a flash, or you get to see the next episode. You see Ezekiel trying to gather up all the children, and he loses Judith.
Oh, my word, Ezekiel. I didn't even see the preview for next week's episode. But yeah, that's a good one, though. Y'all are probably going to kill me for mine, but I'm going to go with Carol.
Carol?
Because I just think she's going to be too one-track, so she's not going to contribute in the way that they... need her to at the moment.
Okay.
That's why.
I think I'm going to give it to Gamma. Because she's just not really... Like, yeah, she was in the episode. We had her scene with her trying to see her... What is it? Her niece?
Her nephew.
Her nephew. Mm-hmm. But other than that, you know, she's not really... Dude, they're just protecting her. Yeah. She's not really doing anything, so...
They haven't completely accepted her yet.
Right, exactly. No. So, that's... I give her
She catches some bodies in the next episode and it's like, oh, you're a part of the crew now.
Yeah, maybe.
We'll see. We'll see. Well, that leads us to our predictions. What do you guys think is going to happen?
AfterBuzz TV prediction.
Predictions for the next episode. We are going to lose somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a big somebody.
Oh, you think?
It's going to be a big somebody. I think it's too lame to say Ezekiel, and my gut wants to say Carol.
Really? We can't lose Michonne and Carol in one season.
No, Go, what do you think?
Well, I'm going to take my prediction straight from chat because y'all just gave me a great idea. How many times have they gotten out of situations because, like, someone has come to save the day?
Every season.
What did I ask you before the show? Where is Michonne? In chat, Nina Murphy and Eric Erlian said Michonne or possibly Maggie. Because we know Maggie's
coming
back.
She is
going
to come back sometime,
Literally, how else are they going to get out of this?
Yeah.
It very much so could be like Maggie with her crew or Michonne coming back with a crew as well. Mm-hmm. I still don't know like how they would save them, but I like that idea. So I'll go with they're going to be saved and that's how they're going to get out of this.
I like that.
Okay. I do think Ezekiel, he's going to be the one that's not going to make it. I have a feeling he's just super weak. He has the cancer and there are rumors that he said he is leaving the show. Mm-hmm. So I can kind of see that. I'm also afraid for Rosita.
Yeah.
Because we know that she is leaving the show to do a Netflix show. So
Crystal Gale Hoskins in chat just says, I think we will lose Rosita.
Yeah. I'm
she's doing Selena.
One. Yeah. I yeah. Still. So yeah. I don't know. But that is all the time we have for this after show of The Walking Dead. Thanks so much for joining us. Why don't you guys tune us out?
Y'all can find me everywhere at April with some hand.
And you can find me everywhere, or you can find me on IG at Said is the Answer and on Twitter at Said Says, that's CEDD_SAYS.
And I'm your host, Benny Adams. You can find me on all social media at Benny J. Adams. We will see you guys next week.
Woo-hoo, until bye-bye. Next time, guys.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.